We're holding on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, the fifth line. And we were talking yesterday about the question of whether Orla, and we were also talking about Kalaya Kerem and Chodosh, apply outside Eretz Yisrael or not. We said that Orla is, there's a Mishnah that says that Orla is halacha outside Eretz Yisrael, and Kalayim is Medivis Sofrim. So what kind of Kalayim we'll talk about further down on this Amud, but as far as Orla, we said there's two possibilities. What halacha means? Does it mean it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, or does it mean that it's hilchos medina, which means something, as Rashi said, that people took on themselves voluntarily, and the chacham approved of it? Or we said different other possibilities yesterday of what hilchos medina are, but in any case, it wouldn't be something that Hashem originally told Moshe. So now we were talking about the last thing we were talking about then was that you have two Mishnayos, one of them about Orla, one of them about one of them about Kalaya Kerem. We in each case we have a suffix, we have a suffix Orla. So we said we quoted a Mishnah that Yodid Velekeach, you're allowed to outside Eretz Yisrael, you'd be allowed to buy from a goy fruit that might be suffix, or that where there's a suffix, whether it's Orla, for example, he has trees in his orchard where you don't know if they're already past their third year or not, as long as you don't see him actually picking from a tree which is known to be Orla. Then when it came to Kalaya Kerem, we said actually Yodid Veloiket, you could even have that the goy who owns the vineyard could be picking food for you over Vadshala Yokit Biyad, as long, but you yourself, a Yid, wouldn't be allowed to pick it. So we said, isn't that being inconsistent? And the answer is actually we said that there are that you have to, it's true. Shmuel had said that the two Mishnayos do need to be made consistent. So either both of them are saying that you're allowed to buy from the goy, but you're not allowed to actually see him picking something for you, which you know is usur, Orla or Kalaya Kerem, as the case may be, or that both of them you actually would be allowed to, you know, that, or is it both of them you're allowed to watch him picking it, you yourself are just not allowed to. So now continuing on this topic about Suffolk Orla, Omer Levi the Shmuel. Levi says to Shmuel, Auyech, which is a nickname that he uses for Shmuel in a few places in Shas. Auyech was it was the name of one of the four kings that attacked Sodom and company, Auyech Melech Halasar. And there's a number of different explanations among Rishonim why exactly Shmuel was nicknamed that. It is the name of a king. It has the word Ari in it, a lion, referring to Shmuel's greatness in Torah. And there's a lot of different explanations. Anyway, it was a nickname that Levi gave Shmuel. Levi was from the previous generation to Shmuel, so he's telling him Sapik Li v'ano Echol. Rashi explains Sapik Li as being Meloshin Suffolk. Create a suffix for me and I will eat it. Meaning we're talking about Orla. So he's telling Shmuel, pick for me some fruit in such a way that it will wind up that's a suffix for me, whether in fact what you picked was Orla. In other words, it might even be you yourself know that a particular fruit that you picked is Orla, but you give it to me in such a way that I won't know and I will be allowed to eat it because it's only based on what we said before, is only if I myself personally know, for example, by picking it myself, that it's Orla, would I not be allowed to? But if you give it to me, even though you may know, for me it's a suffix, and therefore it would be mutter. Tosfos Riyazakin discusses over here. So what do we mean? So one possibility, first of all, he says that sapically can also mean provide for me, but do we mean that it was from suffix Orla? So one way of understanding Sapik Li would be find something that is Suffolk Orla and provide some to me and I'll eat it because it's only Suffolk Orla and it's fine, according to what we said before. Or the other possibilities, he's saying that he may even be saying, give me some Vade Orla, because Levi may be holding that, as we're going to see soon, other opinions like that, that know that there's no Orla at all in Chutz La'aretz. Anyway. So similarly, Rab Ivya, Rab Chanan, these two Chacham, Rab Ivya, Rab Bar Chanan, would do be misapku to one another. Again, either it means Meloshin Suffolk, they would create a Suffolk for one another. For example, so one of them would pick fruit without telling the other one what trees it came from, and therefore for the other one it's Suffolk, and therefore he's allowed to eat it. Or again, maybe it even means that they would supply each other with Vade Orla because they held that there's no issue of Orla in Chutzlaretz. So the Gemara continues. Amri Charifi de Pumbedissa, the sharp Chachamim of Pumbedissa, which the Gemara elsewhere identifies as their names were Epha and Avimi, the sons of Rachva. Rachva was an Amora who lived in Pumbedissa. The Gemara elsewhere mentions that he was very, very precise when he told over things from his Rebbeim. He was very precise in the wording of them. So now he had sons named Epha and Avimi, and the Gemara nicknames them Charifi de Pumbedissa, the sharp ones of Pumbedissa. Anyway, they said, Ein Orla b'chutzlaretz. There is no Orla at all in Chutzlaretz. So therefore, so that would fit with everything that we said before. It's not even a matter of whether there's a Suffolk, even where there's a Vada, you know that a tree is. When it's 3 years, they're saying you would be mutter to eat it. However, Sholcha Rav Yehuda l'kamed Rav Yechanan. So Rav Yehuda sent a message with this information to Rav Yechanan and Eretz Yisrael that Epha and Avimi have said that. Sholach Lei, but Rav Yechanan sends back a very sharp message. Stoim Sfeika, close up the Suffolk, meaning Rashi says that there may be a heter for it, which based on the Mishnah that we said before. However, don't go doushing it publicly. Rashi brings from Rabbeinu Gershom that Stoim over here means to close it up, as in other words, suppress information about it. Don't go where you want to go talk about it privately to your Talmidim, fine, but don't go doushing in public because then people are going to get careless with it. So Stoim Sfeika, but Abed Vada, anything that you find, because people are makel to that extent in Orla outside of Israel, says Rabbi Yechanan, destroy any Vaday Orla. Fine, I agree that Suffolk Orla you don't need to destroy, just don't go publicize that it's mutter, but any Vaday Orla, go and destroy. Now, even though the point is, usually you wouldn't need to, it's true that Orla is also Bahana, but you don't necessarily, it doesn't mean necessarily mean that you have to destroy it. But here he's after all, for example, like we said before, you could create a Suffolk with it. You could give it to somebody else who doesn't know that's Orla, and it would have been mutter for him. But Rabbi Yochanan is saying in this case, where they're being so makel and saying there's no Orla at all in Eretz Yisrael, then destroy any Vaday. But the Hachreis are per same Shetunim Gneza, announce that any fruit of theirs that belongs to people who are makel like that it's going to require to be put in Gneza. And Rabbi Yochanan finishes off, anybody who says that Orla doesn't exist in Eretz Yisrael, he uses an expression from he will not have a child or a grandchild, who throws down a rope in the girdle in the congregation of Hashem. Those last words, Mashlech Chevro B'Girdle B'Kal Hashem, is a Loshen HaPosek from Micha. The Novi Micha over there was criticizing people who steal other people's houses and fields or move landmarks, like Sasek Voreach or whatever, in order to take over other people's property. And he says, therefore, you're not going to have and the Posek explains over there that when you're dividing up property and you make a girdle, then you use ropes to divide up to measure and divide up the property. So therefore, the Navi is saying such people are not going to have a chelik after the galus when they come to rebuild Eretz Yisrael, the second Mizmikdash. Then such people are not going to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Why does Rabbi Yochanan use that expression davka here? Why does he choose that loshen apasek? Hamakna brings an interesting point. What's Makhlal, the idea behind Orla? Why should the fruit of the first few years of a tree be Osir? So the Zoya gives a reason for it, because the first few years of a tree's life, the Chumrius, like the Gashmius of the fruit, overwhelms anything else. And therefore, you eat that fruit, then it's going to drag you down into Torah. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying, look, if you're going to say Ein Orla b'chutzlaretz, in effect, you're saying Chutzlaretz is greater than Eretz Yisrael in that regard, that you don't have that issue the first couple of years. Well, then if you're going to be like Meraglim and talk, in effect, talk badly about Eretz Yisrael, then you don't deserve to have a chelik in it. So anyway, the point is that Rabbi Yochanan is completely disagreeing with. So far what we had is, we have Harifi de Pumbedissa, and the Gemara is going to show in a second that they do have Tanoim who back them up. That say Ein Orla b'chutz la'aretz, period. we had before a couple of different Amoraim, including Shmuel and Rabbi Ivya and Rabbi Bar Avchanan, who said that Safek Orla is mutar in Chutz La'aretz. So if it's Vaday Orla, then not. But if it's Safek, even if the Safek is only that you yourself don't know, but somebody else does, then you're allowed to eat it. And now you have Rabbi Yochanan, who's saying that's true, but don't go publicize, because people are being so makel and orla, don't go publicize that din that Safek Orla is mutar. So the Gemara says, "V'inu kaman sorua." What?
What about the fact that when we have a Safek d'oraisa, we're machmir, we're not makil.
Ah, that's what we're going to talk further. We're going to talk further down on the Amud, how that's possible. We'll get to that. Wait. Keep in mind, by the way, so far we had two opinions to begin with on what grounds is Orla also in Chutz La'aretz anyway. Was it Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, or was it Hilchus Medina? So if it's Hilchus Medina, then it's Dirabbanan, or even it started out, even not even as something Dirabbanan, but rather that something that people took on voluntarily, then for sure you can be makel in it. If we say that it's Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that's more what we have to deal with. How could he be makel in a Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai? Mind you, by the way, the Chavis Yoyer says on that, you see that the same way as you can be makel on Safek Dirabbanan L'Kula, he says evidently the same thing applies to Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, but not everybody agrees with that. So we'll get back to that point soon. But first, the Gemara asks, "V'inu kaman svarua?" Well, the Charifi de Pumbedisa, Eifa and Avimi. Who were they following? Rabbi Yochanan is reacting so negatively to what they said, but they didn't just make it up themselves. Where they who do they hold like? The answer is Kihod Tanya, like what we learn in a Braisa. Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Yosi, Oyma Meshum Rabbi Yosi, Medramaska, Sha'oma Meshum Rabbi Yosi Agvili, Sha'oma Meshum Rabbi Yechem Manuri, Sha'oma Meshum Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol. So you have a whole chain over here going back to Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol, and that's Stam Rabbi Eliezer in Shas, is also known as Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol. Anyway, they say this whole chain says, Ein Orla B'Chutz La'aretz. There is no Orla in Chutz La'aretz, so that's where Eifa and Avimi are getting it. So they want to ask the loy. So you're telling me Rabbi Yezer holds there's no Orla in Chutz La'aretz. Didn't we say in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yezer says after the Tanakhama had mentioned that Orla and Kilayim apply in Chutz La'aretz, then Rabbi Yezer had said Af HaChadosh, also Chadosh, and we explained before a couple of blocks ago that it means that Rabbi Eliezer is saying, I agree with you, Tanakama, that those two are also in Chutz La'aretz, and I'm adding also Chodosh, which you, Tanakama, claimed is Mutter. So you see that Rabbi Eliezer holds Chodosh is also outside Eretz Yisrael. And the point is that you see that he holds that Orla is also outside Eretz Yisrael. The answer is Toni Chodosh. You have to correct the wording of the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer is not saying Afa Chodosh. He's saying Chodosh. He's saying you should know that you should know that so the Tanakhama had said Orla and Kilayim are Noyig in Chutz La'aretz. Rabbi Eliezer is saying no, Orla and Kilayim are not Noyig in Chutz La'aretz. Chodosh, you want to know what mitzvah Tloya Ba'aretz? You Tanakhama are telling us an exception. Most mitzvahs at Tloyas Ba'aretz, most soil based mitzvahs, apply only in Eretz Yisrael, and you're saying with the exception of Orla and Kilayim, no, Rabbi Eliezer is saying those don't, but Chodosh does, which you Tanakhama hadn't mentioned. So he's not saying that Orla and Kilayim apply outside Eretz Yisrael. Actually, Tosfos discusses why we need to remove Kilayim from that list also. Why can't we say that? Rabbi Eliezer agrees Kilayim applies outside Eretz Yisrael, and then adds Chodosh as well, and just disagrees on Orla. So Tosfos gives a couple of answers. First of all, why would we assume that he's why would we assume that he's machmir and kilayim more than orla? And since kilayim are definitely dirabbanan, the Mishnah that we quoted yesterday said that kilayim bedivrei sofrim, then you can't really say you can't really say that also chodosh is also where he would hold that chodosh is also in a Torah outside Eretz Yisrael. You can't say af relative to Kilayim, which is which would be only Dirabbanan outside Eretz Yisrael. What would be the logic? If you're saying Kilayim is Dirabbanan outside Eretz Yisrael, and also you should know Chodosh is also, I mean, also it's more than also, it's also Daraisa. So that would be another reason why not to assume that.
We said also originally that we had to try to make the Mishnah go according to.
We wanted to try to make the Stam Mishnah over there in Orla not be like Rabbi Eliezer, but rather be like the Chachamim. Yeah. Fine. The Gemara continues. Amar Rab Asi, Amar Rab Yechanan, Orla b'chutz la'aretz halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. This that Orla does apply outside Eretz Yisrael That is halacha l'moshe b'sinai, which is like the opinion of Ula that we said before. In fact, Ula had said it in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. So now also Rabbi Asi is saying it in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Omer Rabbi Zera l'Rabbi Asi. So Rabbi Zera asks him, Hagos Hagro gives a different girsa that Rabbi Asi asked him, the pashtus meaning that he asked Rabbi Yechanan, v'hotanya, or hotnan really, because it was a Mishnah, Suffolk Ola ba'oretz also b'suria mutter b'chutz la'oretz yored v'loiket. Didn't we say before that Suffolk Ola is also in Eretz Yisrael, but is mutter in Syria, and in chutz la'oretz you're even allowed to go and pick it, or you yourself are not allowed to pick it, but the goy can pick it for you, and as long as you don't know that he picked from an Ola tree, then you're fine. But the point is, if it's Hilchas Medina, then, like Rabbi Yehuda had said before in the name of Shmuel, then sure, we can understand why a Suffolk in it would be Osir. But if it's Halacha L'moshe M'Sinai, how can he be Mekel in it to that extent that a Suffolk should be Mutter? So Eshtoyman Kishar Chada, he was shocked, or he was quiet for a while. That Loshen Eshtoyman Kishar Chada, it actually comes from a posik, and it's also a Loshen Aposik from Daniel. The original context of it was when Nebuchadnezzar has a second dream, the one where the interpretation of it is going to end up being that he's going to be like an animal for 7 years or whatever. So Daniel hears the dream from Nebuchadnezzar, and he's quiet for a while, thinking, how am I going to tell this to Nebuchadnezzar without offending him? Anyway, so the Gemara uses it in a few places when one of the Amiroyim asks another one a question, like an Eisen Akasha, and he has to think for a while of an answer. So now Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Asi was in that condition. Omalei, and eventually he answered, Ema Kach Neumar, Ema Kach Neumar. Evidently, we have to answer that this is how the halacha was originally said, Sfeika Osir, Sfeika Mutter Vada Osir. That only when it's a suffix would it be osir, but when it's vaday, it's mutter. So there's a couple of ways of explaining. What exactly the answer means. One is that you can say it means that is how the halacha l'moshe m'sinai was given to begin with. This is how the Beis Yosef understands it. That the halacha l'moshe m'sinai is exactly that. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai, it was given with details. So among the details that Hashem told Moshe when he taught him this halacha is that only the vadei of it will be also in chutz la'aretz to not suffer. As opposed to, on the other hand, Taz has a different understanding of it. He says what it means is, look, given that you have a halacha l'moshe m'sinai about Orla anyway, why did the Torah even need to write anything about it in Eretz Yisrael? Let the whole thing be a pure halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Let there not be anything about it in Torah Shebichsav at all, and that would be that. Instead, we have a mitzvah of Orla right there in Torah Shebichsav. Therefore, that must mean that there's an actual distinction between them because of that, because Hashem chose to give the halacha in Eretz Yisrael, in a pasuk, the din in Eretz Yisrael, in a pasuk, and then to give the din in chutz la'aretz as halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that implies that there's a difference between one and the other, where one you have to be machmir on a suffolk and the other one you can be made. So it could work out even if we say that it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So fine. So that takes care as far as Orla then. So the bottom line is you have different opinions about Orla, whether it applies in Eretz Yisrael or outside Eretz Yisrael. In the end, the halacha is, especially since we have the Stam Mishnah that says Orla halacha, and the halacha is usually like Rabbi Yochanan against Shmuel. So we say that it means halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and we say therefore that nevertheless, though, you do have that you can be make on a suffix with it, like the Mishnah had said. If you don't know for sure that this particular fruit is Orla. There is actually a further interesting discussion about what about Neter Avai outside Eretz Yisrael. Does that apply to any extent, Neter Avai being the next year after the Orla years are over, where you would have to usually take the fruit to your Shalayim or Redeem or whatever. One interesting data point in that regard, the Friedrich Rebbe tells the famous story involving the Alter Rebbe and his brother, the Maharil, when they were little. It was printed as one of the early Machanayim books, the one about the white fountain. Akitzer, one day, the Goyish maid gives the Maharil, who's about 3 years old at the time, an apple off one of the trees, and it turns out that the way they tell it in the Machanayim book, they say it was Orla, but actually the Friedrich Rebbe's original Sicha has it, that tells it more correctly, that it was Neter Avai. It was during the fourth year, and the Alter Rebbe tells him you shouldn't have done that, and you have to be careful in the future, make yourself a achlata at all of 3 years old, that you're not going to eat anything unless you know 100% that it's kosher, and he takes him, and they discover a fountain, and they dip in it, to, they dip keeping it as a bit of a Matara to be Matara him from the effects of having eaten that food. So we see, according to that,
so
according to that, the Fida Kadeba again is telling that it was in the fourth year, which would mean that it was Neter Avai. So, apparently, even then, you have to be careful. Yeah. Okay. But again, it doesn't mean, for example, I mean, you buy fruit in the store. The roiv is probably from trees that are older than 3 years old. So therefore, you don't have much of an issue with it. One thing I have seen a discussion about is there's some kind of tropical fruit. I don't remember what it is, mango or papaya or some other one. I don't remember, where in general, the trees don't produce fruit after 3 years. They only produce fruit the first couple of years. So then the question becomes, in that case, wouldn't it be that all of them are Orla? So there are also that they talk about various hetayrim and why it should be mutter. Again, one of them being that after all, you don't see them picking the fruit, and we're saying over here, therefore, it should be mutter.
The whole life is only 3 years.
Yeah, but I don't know. Anyway, okay. Now let's talk about kilayim. Amar Asi, Amar Yechanan, loikin al kilayim dvar Torah. When a person in chutz la'aretz, if a person plants kilayim, he will get malchus min haTorah. Amalei Rabbi Lozeb Rabbi Yosi, but Rabbi Lozeb Rabbi Yosi asks him, "Va'anan tnan kilayim medivei sofrim." The Mishnah from Orlo that we quoted before said that kilayim is also in Chutzla; it's only medivei sofrim, and you don't get malchus for divrei sofrim. The answer is loikasha can be kilaya kerem can be hakava seilan. There's many different kinds of kilayim. Really, kilayim includes like five different mitzvahs. You have kilaya kerem with grain or grapes are planted in a vineyard or too close to grapevines. You have kilai zroyim, where a mixture of seeds is planted together. Let's say you have wheat and barley mixed together and you plant them. You have kilai ilon, which the Gemara is going to discuss now, which is you graft a branch of one species of tree onto another one, and eventually the graft takes, and then the fruit thereafter is kind of a hybrid. Then you have, there's kilai behema, which includes hitching up two animals. It includes hitching up two animals together to a wagon or a plow or whatever. It includes crossbreeding them, and then you have kilai begodim, which is shatnez. So here in the Gemara, we're primarily going to focus on only a couple of them. We're not going to talk about shatnez, for example. But obviously, shatnez applies outside Eretz Yisrael, schoivas haguf. But we're going to be talking about over here. So when we say the one that is also minatora and Rabbi Yechon is saying person gets malchus for would be kilaya kerem, the one that we make on in chutz la'aretz and saying that it's only derabanan, that would be kilaya zroim, planting two different seeds together. So kedishmul, and the reason why to make that distinction is the reason why to make that distinction is based on what Shmuel says. The Omar Shmuel. Now, the context where Shmuel says this statement of his comes from a Gemara in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara is discussing over there what are the mitzvahs that Bnei Noach are also in. We know you have the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach, but the Gemara discusses over there a few other possibilities. There are some other mitzvahs that maybe Bnei Noach are also chayim in. So one point that comes up over there is that many times in the Pesukim you have the Torah will say the Torah will use an expression that ushmautem es chukoisai. Here by kilaya kerem, instead you have the expression es chukoisai tishmoy. Well, actually not by kilaya kerem, but by kilay behema and some other ones, we have the expression es chukoisai tishmoy. Ushmautem es chukoisai would imply I'm giving you now a new chuk. From now on, make sure to observe it. Es chukoisai tishmoru suggests I have a chuk already in existence from beforehand. Now make sure you Jewish people continue to observe it. So that would be, so then it would come out that there are certain kinds of kilayim that do apply to Bnei Noach as well. And the pasuk says, so es chukoisai tishmoru chukim shechachak v'chokvar. These are chukim that I've already previously established that even Bnei Noach are chayav in. And what are they? Behem techoloi sabia kilayim, sot choloi sizra kilayim. It says you shouldn't crossbreed your animals as kilayim, and you shouldn't plant your field as kilayim. So therefore, we can learn that. So the Gemara mentions over there that from there we learn that Bnei Noach are also to do those things. They would be mutter to hitch up two animals, two different kinds of animals, to a wagon, for example. But they would be also to actually crossbreed them. Now, what is it? What is sodchol is sizra kalayim? Means ma behemtecha b'harba. Just like when it comes to animals, the issur for bnei noyach is only to crossbreed them. They are allowed to hitch them up together. Af sodcha b'harkava, the same way when we're talking about not planting your field kalayim, it must mean b'harkava. It means that you're combining, you're grafting one thing onto another. So therefore, that would only be when with kalai. That would only be with kalai ilan, not with seeds. When you plant wheat and barley next to each other, you don't get a hybrid wheat barley plant. But when you graft a branch of an esrog tree onto a lemon tree, for example, then what you have thereafter is a hybrid of an esrog and a lemon.
Harba is
the actual mating of the animals. So we're saying b'nei noyach, I'm not allowed to do that.
Spelled differently, I guess, than four.
What?
It's spelled different than the word I brought for.
It's spelled Resh Beis Ayin, what the connection. So they have the same underlying Shodash, Resh Beis Ayin. Is there a connection between them? I have no idea. Maybe because like the word Rova is also an Aramaic word that means to lie down, which is easy enough to see how that comes together with mating. Right. Maybe the idea is because an animal lies down on all four, on all fours. So maybe therefore, maybe that's the connection. I don't know. Anyway. And uma behemt chanoig ben ba'oretz ben mechotz la'aretz. Afsod chanoig ben ba'oretz ben mechotz la'aretz. So then, just like behemtcha applies everywhere in the world because it's a chayvus aguf, it has nothing to do with the land. Afsodcha noyeg ben ba'oretz ben mechotz la'aretz. Therefore, the issue of harkava, of grafting one branch of a branch from one tree onto another, would also apply in chutz la'aretz as well. So I said it backwards before. Kilai Akerem, therefore, we would say, is also only Dirabbanan outside Eretz Yisrael. Kilai Ilan, which we're saying is grafting a branch from one tree onto another, that would be also outside Eretz Yisrael. Midaraisa, and that's what Rabbi Yechon was saying, that a person would get malchus for it.
Because
they were saying, Sod Holos Sizra Kilayim implies that it has to be something similar to our boss Behema, namely where you're grafting two things together to create a hybrid. As opposed to Kalai Zroyim, where you're not doing that. And Kalai Kerem, where you're not doing that. You plant grain in a vineyard. You don't get a hybrid of grain and then grapes. It's Xeris HaKosov. That's also.
And where's the difference if it's at Sol or...
Because that's what we're saying. Behemtecha applies anywhere in the world. When we're saying Behemtecha Leisabia Kalayim would be anywhere in the world. Right. Therefore, Sodcha Leisizra Kalayim would have to be the same kind of thing as well. Which, by the way, I mean, the next thing in the Pasuk, it mentions... It mentions shatnez, but that obviously we're not going to say that applies to goyim. But fine, that's already too far away. As for koisai pishmodu would refer to the first two things in the pasuk, behemtecha and sodcha. Okay, so the question is ve'ela hoksiv sodcha. The fact is, though, the pasuk says sodcha, which implies a field that is that you Jews have exclusive rights to, which will be Eretz Yisrael, not chutz la'aretz. The answer is ahulam ma'uti zroyim shebechutz la'aretz. What that comes to exclude is the seeds of Kilaya Kerem in Chutz La'aretz, meaning, in other words, so Rashi explains that because the Pasuk says Lois Sizra, where you might mistakenly think, therefore, that refers to planting different kinds of seeds together, therefore the Pasuk adds the word Sodcha to tell us that that kind of thing applies only in Eretz Yisrael, only in Sodcha, but outside Sodcha, anywhere else in the world, then that Isser of Zroyim, of seeds, doesn't apply. Which Tosfos says, in other words, so we don't mean even Kalai Zroyim. Kalai Zroyim, there's no question, is mutter outside Eretz Yisrael, because again, it's a Chovas Karka. But when it comes to Kalai Akerem, given that Kalai Akerem in Eretz Yisrael is going to be also Bahana, then therefore we need to be told more explicitly that it doesn't apply, at least not to that extent, in Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara tells in this regard about more dinim about kilayim and chutz la'aretz. Rav Chanan and Rav Onan have a shakli ba'azli ba'urcha. One time, Rav Chanan and Rav Onan are walking together on the road. Chazyuhu lahu gavra to kazoiz roim b'hadi adadi. They saw a man was planting different kinds of seeds together. He's planting, let's say, for example, wheat and barley together. Omalei, so Rav Onan says to Rav Chanan, Nesi ma'u neshamte. Come, Rebbe, we should put him in cherem. He's being over on Isser of the Torah. This was in Chutz La'aretz.
Okay.
Omalei, but Rav Chanan says no. Loi chaburitu. You're not clear in Hilchas Kilayim. Piva means white. So it means that they're not mechuvarim lachem. They're not white and clear in your mind that you think that type of thing would be osur and in chutz la'aretz and would be chayev and would be chayev nidu. Similarly, the two chazu lahu gavra chazara chiti b'sairi beigufni. Then they saw another person who was planting wheat or barley among the grapevines. Or it could even mean wheat and barley. There's a good deal of discussion about that. Whatever, anyway, that's also something. So again, Rav Onan says we should put him in Cherem. So again, he says an expression, it's not so obvious to you, meaning Saharitu is Meloshin Saharayim, the noon, when the sun is very bright. So the halachas of Kilayim are not bright to you. Shitala no delami explains the difference between the two expressions. Chaveritu suggests that you don't know it at all, because like this, you're saying that Kalai Zroyim should be also in Chutz La'aretz. Nobody says that. Whereas when it comes to this Kalai Akerem, he's only going to say, only according to Rabbi Yoshia is it Mutter. Now the Halacha, Tosfos discusses, the Halacha ends up being like Rabbi Yoshia, but nevertheless, it's still, you could have said, okay, listen, you know, I hold like other Tanoim who say it's also, so therefore we can't really say on him, Loi Chavaritu, you don't know the Halachas at all, but you can say, Loi Tsaritu, it's not as clear to you as it should be, that you should realize the Halacha is like Rabbi Yoshia. Loi Kaimalon Rabbi Yoshia. Don't you realize we hold like Rav Yoshia? Dama Adshi Yizra Chito is sort of a chautz and mapolus yad. He says, when is a person chay of Malkus? When is a person over Minatorda on Kalaya Kerem? Only if even in Eretz Yisrael, only if he plants a, for example, a wheat grain and a barley grain and a grape. And a grape seed and a grape seed all falling from his hand at the same time. But in other words, in this case, the vineyard already existed, and now the guy is going and planting some wheat over there or some barley over there. So that's not the kind of thing that Rabbi Yoshia is talking about. That would be Chayev Malkus in Minat Torah. Now, why do we say that? So Rashi says the fact that it's Mapolus Yad, that it has to be all at once, is because Lo Sizra Karma Chakalayim implies you shouldn't to begin with plant it as Kalayim. Otherwise, it would have said something like Karma Chalo Sizra Kalayim, which would imply the vineyard you already have, don't plant Kalayim. But so that it needs to be Mapolus Yod. And then Rabbi Yoshia gets from that. Where does he get that it has to be wheat and barley together at the same time as the grapes, or any other two species, let's say peas and lentils, together with the grapes? Where does he get that it can't just be one of them? Rashi says, I don't know. Tosfos gets into a whole discussion about whether the halacha is like Rabbi Yoshia first of all, as far as that Rashi is saying, that I don't know, so there are Rishonim who learn that the reason is, in other words, the implication is, it has to be that when the Ran explains, it says Loi Sizra Kamecha Kalayim, meaning that what you're planting together with the vineyard itself would be Kalayim, for example, wheat and barley. So therefore, that's where Rabbi Yoshia is getting that it has to be, for example, wheat and barley together with the grapes all at once. Anyway, Tosfos has some discussion about the details of this, and is the halacha like Rabbi Yoshia? There is also some discussion among Rishonim. In particular, based on the shita of the Rambam, it comes out that even though we're saying a person would be chayev malchus only if he does that, but the produce is going to be also even in the other cases as well. Let's say you have a grapevine, let's say you have a vineyard that's already planted, and later on somebody goes and plants wheat or barley or whatever over there, he wouldn't be chayev malchus based on what Rabbi Yoshia is saying, but the produce would still become also. Anyway, so the point is, again, Rav Chanan is saying to Rav Onan that once you realize the halacha is like Rav Yoshia, then you'll realize that you have that you have no reason to put this person in chayim. And so the Gemara continues. Rav Yosef ma'arif bizarni vizara. So in fact, Rav Yosef would deliberately mix together different kinds of seeds and plant them in Chutz La'aretz. Rav Yosef lived in Babel. So now we're not talking about Kalai Akerem. Now we're talking about Kalai Zroyim. So in Eretz Yisrael, you would be also to do that. But in Chutz La'aretz, Rabbi Yosef was doing that. Omalei Abayva Hanan Tanana Kalai Medivrei Sofrim. Didn't we say that Kalayim is also in Chutz La'aretz Medivrei Sofrim? And the assumption is, Abayva's assumption is, that refers to all kinds of Kalayim, including Kalai Zroyim. Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef says, no, Loi Kasha, can be Kalai Akerem, can be Kalai Zroyim. There's a difference between Kalai Akerem and Kalai Zroyim. So before, we made the distinction We said that among Kelayim that are also in Chutz Laaretz, you have ones that are also Daraisa, which we said was Arkovas Ilan, grafting a tree. We had ones that are also only Darabonan, namely Kelaya Kerem. Now, Rabbi Yosef is making a further distinction that Kelay Zeroyim does not apply at all outside Eretz Yisrael. What's the logic? Kelaya Kerem, the Ba'aretz Asurim Ba'anar, Kelaya Kerem are much more stringent in that if you plant them in Eretz Yisrael, as we just said, it all becomes also Ba'anar, the grain and the grapes. Therefore, B'chutz Laaretz Nami, Gozru Bo Rabbanan, and therefore the Chachamim had reason to be Gozran and Chutz Laaretz as well. Fine, you're not going to get Malkus unless it was Chito or Sor of Acharetzen and all that, but nevertheless, because Kelaya Kerem inherently has a certain chumra in it, that it becomes also Bahana, then therefore the Chachamim found it necessary to make Xera that in Chutz Laaretz, at least you can't plant them together.
Which one again?
Kelaya Kerem. So to have a vineyard and then plant grain or grapes too close to the vines, that would be also Darabanan outside Eretz Yisrael.
Would it make a different species or?
So trees are mutter, but any kind of grain or any kind of grain or vegetables or beans or whatever would be usur, near grapevines. As opposed to Rabbi Yosef continues, Kelay Zeroyim, the Ba'aretz La'asiri Ba'ana, when it comes to Kelay Zeroyim, even in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to plant Kelay Zeroyim together, but the produce that grows is not also Ba'ana. You plant wheat and barley next to each other, it's not also Ba'ana. You'll get Malkus, but. B'chutz Laaretz Nami, like Gozru Bo Rabbanan, and therefore the Chachamim didn't want to impose that Gzeira in Chutz Laaretz because, in any case, even in Eretz Yisrael, it's fairly lean. However, Hodor Amar Rabbi Yosef, Lav Milsehi Dami. Then afterwards, Rabbi Yosef says, you know what I said is not correct. There wouldn't necessarily be that distinction. Even Kelay Zeroyim are also in Chutz Laaretz de Rabban. And Rabbi Yosef says, I can prove it. The Rav Zora Ginta, the Bay Rav Mishari. We see that Rav planted the garden of Bay Rav. He had a yeshiva over there, so he had a vegetable garden over there, so the Talmudim could eat the vegetables. And he made sure to plant it in separate plots, a different plot for each kind of vegetable. My time, a lot of mishum eruv eruv kilayim, isn't it? The pashtus, why would he do that? Is because he's concerned about kilay zroim. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef says, don't you see that kilay zroim applies outside Eretz Yisrael too? However, Amalei Abaye, but Abaye says that's not a proof. Bishleim iashminan. If Rab had planted them in a way within one plot, in a way that he made sure that it's not kilayim. Namely, you have a Mishnah in Kilayim and a Mishnah in Shabbos says that you can have a plot 6 by 6 tfachim and you can plant in it arba al arba ruchas haruga. You can plant 4 different kinds of vegetables along 4 edges of the along the 4 edges of the plot. The achas be'emtza and one in the middle. There's a lot of discussion among Rishonim what the exact configuration is. Given that the plot is 6 by 6, one thing is you have when you often need, as far as Kelay Zeroyim, as far as when you're planting different kinds of grains or vegetables or whatever near each other, often the din is that you need 3 tfachim between one and the other. So if you have if this plot is exactly 6 by 6, then you can plant. For example, so you plant along one side and then along the opposite side near the edge, and then you plant like a tiny bit in the middle, like one seed of some other species in the middle, and it's 3 tfachim from the other ones, approximately. That's how the Rash learns over there, I think. The Rambam learns that it's fine, even if they're touching, as long as they're only touching in corners. So he draws a diagram where you have on the edges of a plot, you have an area one tefach wide, by 4 tfachim, so you don't get to the corners, and then you do that on the 4 sides, and in the middle you have a diamond shape, where you're planting one species in the middle, and it's fine because it only touches the other one, the other ones at the corners of the diamond. Whatever, the Mishnah at Kilayim tells us you're allowed to do that. The Mishnah at Shabbos brings actually a remez from a pasuk in Yeshaya that you're allowed to do that. So if Rav had planted his garden over there, his vegetable garden like that, Shapir, then Abaya says, then yes, Rabbi Yosef, you could prove from that he holds Kelay Zeroyim is also in Chutz Laaretz, and therefore he's deliberately planting it in a way to make sure that you don't have that issue. Ela hocha, but over here you're saying that he planted each species and in a whole bed of its, in a whole plot of its own. That doesn't prove he's doing it because of Kalizraim. You could say Mishum no, he might have been just doing it so it looks nicer. Or you could say maybe because of the tircha of the shamash, you're going to tell him, go pick such and such a kind of vegetable for the Talmidim, and he's going to have to go figure out which plot it's in. Like this, if each one is in a clearly marked plot of its own, then it's very easy for him to find. So not necessarily does that prove that Rab was doing it because Kalai Zroim is a problem outside of Yisrael. And given that, therefore, so in fact, the halacha is Kalai Zroim does not apply outside of Yisrael at all.
When they were all together, he was about to put a guy into...
Before we had, where he was about to put him in Cherem, and he tells him, Loi Chavaritu, you're not clear on the halacha. The fact is that, yes, you are allowed to plant. So of the various kinds of Kalayim we talked about, the summary is as follows. Kalai Begodim, which means Shatnez, there's no question, is also everywhere. It's a Chavis Aguf. Kilai Behema is also a Chavis Aguf. That also applies anywhere. So for us Jews, that means not yoking or hitching up two different kinds of animals together to pull something. It also means not crossbreeding them. For goyim, it means only crossbreeding them. They're also in it. It's not counted as one of their shev mitzvahs, but it is. It is part of Torah Shabbat Peh that they're also to do that. Kilai Zroyim applies only in Eretz Yisrael. It does not apply at all in Chutz Laaretz. We're saying kilai kerem applies in Eretz Yisrael midaraisa. Planting grain or grapes near grain or vegetables near grapes is also daraisa in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Laaretz, it's also derabban. And kilaya ilon, which is grafting trees, that is also both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laaretz for Jews. And a person who does that even in Chutz Laaretz is going to get malus. Okay. So now that we've talked about various categorizations and mitzvahs, ones that men versus women are chayiv in, ones that apply in Eretz Yisrael and not. So now the Mishnah is going to tell us b'chalal about the schar for mitzvahs. Back when we learned on Daf Chof Tes, when we first started learning the mitzvah of the Mishnah of Kol Mitzvah Sa'aval Aben, one of the explanations was, what is all this doing in Masech the Kiddushin? Is there was an explanation, I think from Hamakneh, that said that once we talked about how a person is koina various things in this world, he's koina an isha, he's koina various kinds of assets. Now we need to talk about how he's koina olam haba. So therefore, that led us into a discussion of mitzvahs. So now we're going to talk about that, how a person is koina olam haba through his mitzvahs. So the Mishnah says, kola oisim mitzvah achas, a person does one mitzvah, and we'll see in the Gemara what that means, mitivin loy, Hashem does good for him. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that mitivin loy means in olam hazeh. We're going to discuss in the Gemara whether in fact that's the case. Umarichin lo yomav, he gets to live long. Again, we're going to see if that means in olam hazeh or in olam haba. The noichalos ha'oretz, and he inherits the land of olam haba. He inherits chaya olam haba. V'chol she'ena oisim mitzvah achas, but if he does not do one mitzvah, Ain mativin lo, then Hashem does not do good for him. The ain ma'arichin lo yomav, and he does not live long. The ain noichal asaretz, and he does not inherit the land of olam haba. So what does this mean? One mitzvah. So it sounds like it means a person does one single mitzvah, then already he gets a schar in this world. But the Gemara says, Urimini, you have a contradiction. The first Mishnah of Masechta Peah says, and we say it every morning in davening, Eilu dvarim sha'odim eichel peres seyen ba'olam hazeh. The following mitzvahs are ones that a person gets to eat their peres, meaning he gets dividends from them in this world, and the primary reward is left for olam haba, meaning, in other words, with most mitzvahs, if a person gets the schar of them in this world, it deducts from his schar olam haba. These mitzvahs are not like that. The person gets schar for them in this world, and it doesn't remove anything from his schar olam haba. The elohein, and they are as follows, kibud avraim, ugmilas chasadim, v'achnosas orchim, v'avas sholem ben adam l'chaveroi. In morning davening, we mentioned more of them. Those are based on a braise and Shabbos, which expands on this and mentions others, which the Gemara says are all subcategories of one of the other ones. So you have different ones that are subcategories of Gmilas Chasadim, for example, Biku Chola, Machnosas Kala, and then you have ones that are subcategories of Avos Shalom and Anam Chaveray. So anyway, the point is the Talmud Torah connected to them, and Talmud Torah is equivalent in importance to all of those, because it brings a person to do these maisim, as we're going to discuss later on Daf Mem. So therefore, so you see that only these mitzvahs do you get reward for them in olam hazeh. Why dafka these mitzvahs? We're going to talk about in tomorrow's Gemara, Be'ez Hashem. But the point is that you see, so it's not just any one mitzvah a person does that he gets a schar in this world. And Pnei Yeshua adds, you can't say that it means that for the other mitzvahs he gets a schar in this world and it's deducted from Olam Haba. Then the Mishnah wouldn't say on that mitivin law, that wouldn't be called that's doing good for him by deducting from a schar the Olam Haba. So the answer is, so the implication is that, I skipped a line. So therefore, so you see that only those mitzvahs does a person get a schar in this world. So the answer is, what it means is when a person has, suppose a person is exactly evenly balanced, half mitzvahs, half averus, which doesn't mean the number of mitzvahs and the number of averus per se. The Rambam explains that only Hashem, who's the Kael Deus, knows how to weigh the relative weight of one mitzvah against another. You have all these famous Chassidish Maisis, you know, where a person is about to be judged badly and then they schlep in the horse and the wagon and the mud and all that, and then one mitzvah outweighs everything. So you have, you know, anyway, the point is, so he does one mitzvah more than his other schoyas, and therefore he now the scale goes down to the side of good. Mitivin loy, now Hashem does good for him in this world. The doma kamishim makayim kol haTorah kula, in that sense, is as if he's kept the whole Torah. Doesn't mean, of course, he doesn't get a schar equal to somebody who kept the whole Torah, but it means, in other words, the fact that we always say that Hashem judges tzaddikim more strictly in this world than any averus they have, Hashem punishes in this world so that they'll have a complete olam haba, and we'll show you the other way around. Now that this person has inclined himself to the side of good, then he's in that category. So that's what it would mean. One mitzvah, oisa mitzvah achas, doesn't mean one mitzvah and he never did any others. It means that he has other mitzvahs as well, and now he's inclined himself to the side of good. In fact, Maharsha discusses over here that you have two different ways of looking at it. So what is it? The Gemara is going to ask in the second half of the Mishnah, but what does it mean? When we say, etc., there's two possible ways to understand it. It could mean that he's actually on the side of Averus, and he fails to do one mitzvah that would bring him at least to evenly balanced, or it could mean that he's evenly balanced and he doesn't do the one mitzvah that will bring him to be inclined to the side of good. You have the famous Rambam that the Rebbe quoted innumerable times, that a person should always consider himself chetzi yezakev, chetzi yechayev, and the whole world chetzi yezakev, chetzi yechayev, and then he does one mitzvah and he inclines himself and the whole world to good. By the way, this is today's daf is the middle daf of Shas. So I mentioned yesterday, you could say this is kind of the pivot, you could say, that the whole Shas depends on, is this concept of the importance of mitzvah achas, which the Rebbe always stressed all the years. Anyway. So the Gemara says, "Miklal dahana chafil b'chodah nami." So what are you telling me then? So you still have to have a distinction between the mitzvahs that it mentioned in that Mishnah and Peah, kibud avraham gvulos chasadim, etc. So you're telling me the difference is that with all mitzvahs, any one mitzvah, like our Mishnah says, that inclines him to the side of good, then mitivin lay, etc. You're telling me those are what he gets a schar in olam hazeh, even if it's the only mitzvah he ever did. What's the logic? So the answer is Amr of Shmai, Loy Mashim, Hoysa Shkula Machras. What it means is, means that if they were exactly balanced, the scale to exactly half mitzvahs, half averus, machras, then it inclines the scale to the side of good, those mitzvahs have the ability to do that. Meaning, in other words, Tosfos says like this. Now you have a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says that b'chlal, when a person is measured and found exactly half and half, then Hashem has rachmonos on him, and Hashem is matek klapei chesed. Hashem like inclines the scale. Hashem like fixes the scale so that it will incline to the sign of good. So therefore, so what do you need the one extra mitzvah for? Tosfos says that would be enough to make him a benini. But we don't mean a benini of tanya, of course. We mean a benini a half and half. But Hashem now judges him as a benini, meaning that it's going to take until Yom Kippur for his judgment to be sealed. But now what we're saying is, if he does that one extra mitzvah, and now he's and that one extra mitzvah is one of those that Oichel Perasei and Ba'olam Hazeh, now the result of that is he's considered a tzaddik gomer, again, a tzaddik gomer in that regard, and now Hashem can treat him like a tzaddik as far as his mitzvahs and averus. So the Gemara says, "V'chol ha'osim mitzvah achas yisera al schoyosim mitivin loy." So you're telling me a person does one mitzvah more than a schoyos, then Hashem does good for him. Or a minu, I have a contradiction. And Braisa says, Kolshes chuyosa merubin ma'abinoisa, a person who has more chuyas than avonis, merin loy, then on the contrary, Hashem treats him badly in this world to clean up the averis that he did. The doma kamisha sorof kalatera kulav le shirimena afilo oisachas. He's treated almost as though somebody had burnt the entire Torah and not left a single letter of it. In other words, if you had somebody like that who burnt an entire Torah, you would say for sure he deserves everything that's going to come to him. This guy is treated so harshly, you know, the mazeh, you might think that he actually did that, when really it's only because he has only because he has a lot of averus, but even that is that he has more schuyas than averus. And on the contrary, if his averus are more than his schuyas, then on the contrary, Hashem does him good in this world, so he gets a schar in this world, and that way he's lost it. The way he's treated makes it look as though he's a great tzaddik who kept the entire Torah and didn't leave out even a single letter of it, because the kind of good that he's getting in this world, you would think, is the kind that should be reserved for tzaddikim gmorim.
Why taking away from the world to come?
Because that's the point. In other words, Hashem, the usual way that Hashem judges tzaddikim versus rishoyim is tzaddikim are punished in this world for their averus so that they can get a complete olam haba without any problem. And Rishoyim is the other way around. So this way they completely forfeit their share in Olam Haba. By the way, I mean... We're talking about Tzaddik versus Arusha. That's what we're saying. If he has more mitzvahs than Averis, or if he has more Averis than mitzvahs. Which, by the way, I mean, it doesn't have to be the person doesn't necessarily have to be suffering, tremendous suffering, to clean up his Averis. The Gemara elsewhere talks about that even minor inconveniences in life can be called Yisurim, and they account for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
You put your hand in your pocket, you're trying to pull out some coins, you pull out the wrong ones, yeah. Anyway, the point is that our Mishnah is saying that if he does one mitzvah, which we explained, it means one mitzvah that tilts the scale towards good, then mitivin loy, but based on this braisa, on the contrary, now Hashem starts judging him more strictly, like a tzaddik, to clean up his averus in this world. So what do you mean mitivin loy? So Amar Abaye de Abdin loy yom tav, masnisin de Abdin loy yom tav. In the Mishnah, what it means is they make for him a good day. Rashi explains it means a good day in Olam Haba. In other words, the Mativin law of our Mishnah does not mean Hashem treats him well in this world. It means Hashem is going to treat him well in the next world. The Yoim Bish and vice versa, the one who has more Averus than mitzvahs, Hashem is going to make for him a bad day that he's going to have in Olam Haba, in the future. Tosfos has some problems with that explanation of Rashi, and Tosfos says, no, what it means is, what Abaya means is that the Mativin law of our Mishnah means sometimes he'll have some. So the Rosha will have mostly good in this world, but occasionally he'll have a bad day, and vice versa. The Tzaddik will mostly have bad days in this world to clean up his averus, but occasionally Hashem will grant him a good day in the schar of a mitzvah he did. So we're talking about a Mativin law, and Marian law of our Mishnah would mean in this world, but we don't mean throughout his life. We mean individually a day here, a day there. That's Abaya. Rava Amar, Rava gives a different answer. Homani Rav Yaakov, the Mishnah and the Braisa are actually arguing. According to Abaya, the Mishnah and the Braisa are not arguing. The Mishnah is saying the Tivin Loy, and the Braisa clarifies that it means Ba'olam Abba, or according to Tosfos, the Mishnah is saying the Tivin Loy, and the Braisa is saying mostly Mirian Loy, because his Averus need to be cleaned up, but occasionally he'll have a good day, but as a little bit of a reward for a mitzvah he did. But now Rava is saying, no, the Mishnah and the Braisa actually disagree. Hamani Rabbi Yaakov, the Braisa would go according to Rabbi Yaakov. Dama schar mitzvah v'hai amaleka. He says, "Bechlal, there's no schar for mitzvahs in this world, because the schar, any schar in this world, is incapable of being what the real schar of the mitzvah is." Now you have promises in the Torah that say v'nasati gishmeichem be'itam and all. The Rambam understands those are not really rewards for mitzvahs. Those are more in to give you the opportunity to do mitzvahs. When you have plenty and freedom and security from your enemies and so on and so forth, you'll be able to do more mitzvahs. Marshaw explains over here, and then I think the Rashba explains somewhat similarly, that what it means is those things in the Torah are for the tzibur. The tzibur, when they're keeping mitzvahs, then they get the schar, and otherwise they get the onus. Here we're talking on the individual level. Rabbi Yaakov is saying, for the individual, schar mitzvah hayamalek. By the way, worth mentioning in this regard, the Maharal has a vort on it, and he says, look, every mitzvah connects a person with Hashem. So really, a person deserves schar for any mitzvah. The problem is just that if it's overwhelmed by the averus, then those need to be cleaned up. So therefore, you don't see as much of a schar by it. Similar, there's a vote from the Baal Shem Tov that says that kol ha'isa mitzvah achas of our Mishnah, on a deeper level, it means a person does one mitzvah in the most perfect possible way. So that one mitzvah already connects him with the Eivishter and puts him on a much higher level than he was before. The Rambam, in fact, has an explanation. When we say, what does that mean? The Rambam explains, why did Hashem give us 613 mitzvahs? So that way, every yid can find an individual mitzvah that he has, that he feels more of a shaychus to, and he's going to do as perfectly as possible, and that way he'll get chayel rabbah for that. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara, the Tanya of Yaakov Omer, there's not a single mitzvah that's written in the Torah where it says in connection with it the schar for it. For example, by Kibud Av Ve'em, where it says the Man Yarichun Yemecha, that Tchias HaMesim depends on. In other words, when the Torah is saying that schar means that that'll happen in Tchias HaMesim. And I'll give you an example. Rabbi Yaakov says, "B'kibud av em k'siv l'man yarichon yamecha olaman yitavloch b'shiluach hakan k'siv l'man yitavloch v'harach de yamim." So both of them, Hashem promises arichus yamim. But consider, says Rabbi Yaakov, "Harei shaloi sha'omalei oviv alei labira v'hovili goizolos." Suppose that a person's father tells him, "Go up to the top of this tower and bring me down birds from a nest over there." But Ola Labira, so he goes up following what his father says. So he climbs up there, and he does Shiloh HaKan. He sends away the mother bird like he's supposed to before he takes the babies. And on his way back down, he falls down off the ladder and dies. What happened to the good and the arichos yomim he's supposed to have? And he did two mitzvahs that make him deserving of that. And you have, in other words, the point is it's not just one of them, it's two of them. One is a mitzvah kala, one is a mitzvah chamura, and then Ella, so necessarily you have to say l'man yitavloch means l'olam shekulei toiv, means that the man yitavloch, that you'll have good, means in the world that is entirely good, olam abo. Olaman yarichon yamecha means l'olam shekulei aruch. So Rabbi Yaakov is saying there's no schar mitzvah in this world. So therefore, our Mishnah that says Mativin Loi is not like Rabbi Yaakov, the Braisa that says that Hashem treats him harshly in this world to clean up his averus, and his schar will be completely for the Mabah. That's according to Rabbi Yaakov. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yaakov is giving an interesting scenario, but V'dilma Lav Hochi Hava, who says such a thing ever happened? And the answer is Rabbi Yaakov Maisa Chaza. Rabbi Yaakov actually saw such a thing happen. So it's not just a theoretical possibility. He actually saw such a thing happen. But the Gemara asked, maybe this boy was thinking of an Aveira at the time, and therefore Hashem didn't protect him And the answer is, it doesn't matter. Machshava ra in HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzar for the Maisa. When it comes to Jews, Hashem does not count a machshava ra to combine it together with the Maisa, so he's not going to be punished for it as if he did the Maisa. So he wouldn't have been punished to the extent that he would have fallen off the ladder and then gotten killed. So the Gemara says, "V'duma mahara b'avodas kechavim hava." Maybe he was actually thinking about avodas zara while he was climbing the ladder. "Ochtiv l'man tfois es beis yisrael b'libam." You have a pasuk that refers to people who are thinking about avodas zara in order to grab the Jewish people in their hearts, meaning they're going to be punished for the thoughts of avodas zara in their hearts, even though they don't actually do them. So maybe we should assume that this boy was thinking of avodas zara. And the Gemara answers, "Iunami hachikamer." Well, that's Rabbi Yaakov's point. If you're going to tell me that there is schar mitzvah in this world, then the schar mitzvah itself should be that he shouldn't, that Hashem should protect him from thinking thoughts of avodah zarah at a time like that where he could end up being in danger. The fact that Hashem didn't do that shows that schar mitzvah v'hai amalek. Tosfos, by the way, points out over here that by Goyim, it's the other way around. We find, for example, by Esav, he wanted to kill Yaakov, and the Navi talks about him as if he actually did because he fully intended to. But by us Jews, for a number, and vice versa with Goyim, only when they actually do it, not when they think about it, does it count for, do they get reward for it? And you have a proof from the story with Doyavish and Daniel. Anyway, the point, the one idea being, because a yid has a nefesh alakis that wants to be connected with the Eibishter and wants to do mitzvahs, and therefore it's like the Eibishter takes the view that his machshava ra is not really who he is. He's not necessarily going to follow through with it, as opposed to a goy. He has only a nefesh of a hamas, so then yeah. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Yaakov is saying, again, that the if it was in fact that he had a thought of Avodah at the time, the very fact that the mitzvah he was doing at that time did not protect him, it shows that Schar Mitzvah v'hai Amaleka. In fact, Mefoshim point out that would explain why it happened only when he's coming down. If it was just because he's thinking thoughts of Avodah Zarah, Hashem could have made that he's falling up as he's going up the ladder. The fact that he came down safely and only then he starts coming down safely, goes up there all the way safely, and only when he's coming down does he fall off. That was meant to demonstrate, says Rabbi Yaakov, that Schar Mitzvah v'hai Amaleka.
But already
on the way, he was on the way to do the mitzvah. So you might ask, well, Amar Rabbi Elazar, shluchim mitzvah in and nizirkin. Don't we say that shluchim mitzvah are not harmed? And the answer is chosim b'hali chosim shiny. It's different when they're going to do the mitzvah, but here he's already returning from doing the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, shluchim mitzvah in and nizirkin loy b'hali chosim loy b'chazir asan. What about on the way back, they're also protected? And the answer is Sulam Ra'ua Haba. The answer was it was a shaky ladder. The Kviya Hezeka, where it's a known Hezek, it's dangerous to go up and down such a ladder. B'chol Hecha, the Kviya Hezeka, Lo Samchin and Anisa. And in a case like that, we don't rely on a Ness. As we find, G'dichtiv, Vayiv Shmuel Eich Eilich V'shama Shol V'haragoni, we find that when Hashem tells Shmuel to go anoint one of Yishai's sons as king, he says, "What? How can I go? Shol is going to hear it, he's going to kill me." Hashem doesn't tell him, "What are you talking about? I'm telling you to go have a little bit talking." Hashem tells him, "Fine, Eglas Boker, Tikach B'yadecha, take a calf with you and pretend that you're going there just to bring a korban. And really, you're going there to bring a korban as well as for this." So we see, in other words, that it is reasonable where there's Kriya Hezeka to not rely on a Ness. So in fact, the Gemara says, by the way, when the Gemara mentioned before about that maybe he had a Hira Avera, one interesting explanation is maybe the Hira Avera was that he was planning to keep the birds for himself rather than giving them to his father after all. But again, the Gemara answers, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Ilmole Darshe Acher Lahai Krok Rav Yaakov Barbrate, if Acher had darshan this pasuk of Laman Yitavloch Vaharach the Yomim and Laman Yaruchon Yomecho, Laman Yitavloch, if he had darshan those psukim the way Rav Yaakov, who was his grandson, had darshan them, Loi Chote, he never would have sinned. You know what happened with Acher, how he went off the derech. So if he had realized, and the Gemara is going to explain that one reason is because he couldn't understand why it is that there's no Schar Mitzvah in this world. If he had realized, like Rav Yaakov, like his grandson, and is later going to douse him, then he wouldn't have had a problem with him. What happened? So, what happened with Acher? Some say he saw exactly this kind of thing, that he saw the kid going up and getting the birds and so on and so forth. Maybe even you could say it was the same one, and Rabbi Yaakov and he saw it together, and he took it the wrong way, and Rabbi Yaakov realized later on. We don't know anyway. The Ikadami Lishna the Chutzpah Samaturgaman Chaza. Another version is that he saw the tongue of Rabbi Chutzpah Samaturgaman, who was one of the Asor Arugim Malchus, to have a Gorlo Dova Acher, where a pig was dragging the tongue down the street. Pigs will eat anything, so Rabbi Chutzpah's body wasn't buried because the Romans killed him, and now scavengers and wild animals are going and eating his body. He was a tremendous tzaddik, so that's
it. They're saying they wouldn't be able to do tzaddik.
But that's Omar, so that's Acher was shocked. Pesha, Hapik, Mongolius, this tongue of Rav Chutzpah Samet, this mouth that used to give out such pearls of Torah, Yalachach Ofer, should be licking the dust. So he figured there's no Schar Mitzvah at all, Nafak Bechotah. So he went out and sinned, thinking that there's no Schar Mitzvah at all. But if he had realized that the Schar Mitzvah is saved for Olam Abba, then he would have thought completely differently. The Gemara, by the way, Chagiga mentions a whole bunch of other causes of a whole bunch of other things that caused Acher to go off the derech. You have the Arbon Nichmas of the Paradis, and so over there Malach Matat sitting, and he thought Malach Matat is a second god, and Bechlal, even before he was born, Tosfos brings over there from Yerushalmi that his mother was one time passing by a place where they had a stew of tray for meat, and she had a craving for it, and they had to give her some to save her life. And then later on, you have different other things. So there were a whole bunch of predisposing factors. But what pushed them over the edge? What pushed them over the edge? So the Gemara was saying one of these two things. Yeah,
and was one woman did taste and one didn't.
Yeah, there's also Rabbi Yochanan in a later generation had the same kind of thing when he was in the womb and he didn't. So ultimately, by the way, the Tosfos mentions over there, so the Gemara mentions over there in Chagiga how the mayor still stayed with Acher and was still learning Torah with him and trying to get Tshuva and then trying to get him to do Tshuva. And Tosfos quotes over there an amazing vote from the Yerushalmi. Rameir, after Acher passed away, the Gemara says over there in Chagiga that they didn't know what to do with him. We can't bring him to Gan Eden, he doesn't deserve it. We can't send him to Gehenim either because of his Torah. So the Gemara mentions over there that Meir arranged to get him sent to Gehenim, so get cleaned up over there. Tosfos brings an amazing thing from the Yerushalmi. Rav Meir says, and I'm a posit from Megillas Rus. You have where Boaz tells Rus, stay over here overnight when you want me to marry you. And in the morning, we'll see if Toiv, if the Goyo wants to marry you, then good. And if not, then I will. Rav Meir used that posit to refer to Acher. He says, Im yig olech Toiv, if the good one, which is Hashem, will redeem you, yigol, then good, Hashem will redeem you. But if he doesn't want to redeem you, Acher, that even Hashem has given up on you, then Meir says, I swear by as the Eibishter lives that I will redeem you. I will make sure that you're not lost forever.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.